This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
And it's good morning to you and to you and especially to you. My name is Alan Ford and this is The Unview here on CliffCentral.com where we're the thin, the rich and the fabulous, and December's time is looking good. It's fabulosity, lots of great things happening. I want to tell you before we open with an incredible interview with our Springbok captain, Siya Kolisi, we've got today a Big Brother reunion show. It has been 18 years and they're having a Big Brother reunion party, and so everyone's in town from the first season of Big Brother. We'll chat to Ferdinand Rabi, the winner of Big Brother. Irvin Damon, Bad Brad, Vuya Tofile, Margaret van der Vesthuizen, Stephen van Rooyen, Janine Urdison, Lee Benny, they're all joining us on the show through the course of the next hour. So I'm thrilled. I really am so thrilled. But I've got to tell you, this week I was so honored to be at the Players' Choice Awards. And they were really fantastic. I mean, it's the Bright Rock Players' Choice Awards. Such an honor always to be able to celebrate great, great rugby. And here come Di Boca and, of course, all the wonderful stuff that we see around rugby. Bright Rock Players' Choice Awards saw some great things. I'll tell you all about it. But on the line, it is such a pleasure to welcome to the show for the first time the captain of our Springboks, Siya Kolisi. How are you, Siya, and welcome to the show.
I'm good, James. How are you? Thank you for having me.
It is such an honor to firstly have you with us. Congratulations. What a year this has been for you. What a year.
Yeah, it's been awesome. Ups and downs, but I've learned a lot this year. I've really enjoyed it. Looking forward to next year.
I want to ask you this question. You know, it's when I first had the pleasure of meeting you some time back was on the Stormers camp in Hermanus some time back, and how people grow over a period of time, I want to just tell you, is incredible. But to stay humble and to stay as lack and cool as you are as a human being, I think is really cool. And I must say, you've always been consistent, and I've known you for the past few years. So I just want to thank you, because I think when you lead a team and you lead a country as you're doing, it's brilliant to be consistent, and you're a lack of oak.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Now, I want to ask you, firstly, the Bright Rock Players' Choice Awards 2018, you were a nominee. What did you think of the award and of the winners?
No, it was really amazing. We really had an awesome time. I think it was like the performance, everything was like just better each and every single year. And I think all the winners deserved it. I mean, all the guys had a big year. A guy like Apuya Janji, he got 2 awards, and Malcolm Marks had a big year as well. He got the big one, the Players there, and Peter Steph obviously got his award as well. And Zane from the Sevens has played so well, and I've really enjoyed watching him. He's done so much work with the Sevens, so it was really good. Everybody deserves the award.
And I love the fact that the awards are players choosing their players. And that's a good thing. You know, you look at the Academy Awards, people of the Academy, when it comes to like all the top actors and the top movies, they pick their winners. And I think it's an important thing.
Yeah, it is an important thing. I think it's always special for when the player gets recognized by his own teammates instead of obviously the coach or someone choosing them. I think it means more when your own peers tell you like how good you are, and they actually recognize that all the hard work is done, and we know how hard we all work. Mm. And yeah, it's always good to make sure that we let each other know that we're backing each other and we see all the effort.
Hachiva Diamani was wonderful, because we had him on the show last week, and it was so cool to see that there is one award that comes from the fans, and that's the Fan Choice Award. And I think that's really good, actually, because it still includes your general population.
Yeah, it's amazing because the fans actually, they make everything work for us, and when they come and support us each and every single week, and they make a huge difference, and it's always good for them to know that their voice can also be heard. And yeah, I told Sachiva, I was proud of him, and he's an awesome player and everything, but obviously the cause that he was fighting for, you know, helping abuse
Woman, yeah.
Little girls and women, you know. So it was really special.
See, I want to come back to this year that you've had, becoming the captain of the Springboks. You guys have just, I was chatting to Jesse Creel, and Jesse was saying, sure, you know, no one understands the impact on your body going around the world playing rugby in this last tour that you've just had. It was really a busy one.
Yeah, no, it's been a tough year. It's easier now, just getting on a fast because I'm still feeling stiff and sore. But it is tough, especially with leaving the families behind and stuff, especially the guys that have kids and stuff. It's really tough because you're away from everybody. But it is worth it at the end of the day, you know, and I think we're improving and getting better each week. And I think the harder we're working, the better we're getting as well. It's making it a bit easier on the body because they're preparing us very well at the football camp.
There is obviously the big question as we move out of 2018 into 2019, and that is the World Cup. And I've got to tell you, it's going across the world that people are expecting South Africa to do incredibly well. How do you feel?
Yeah, we're feeling confident. Obviously, we've still got a whole lot of work to do. We've improved quite a bit this year, but we know we have to improve a lot more. That's why this time it's important to make sure we come so far as a fit and we do as well as we can for all the South African teams to try and make the playoffs and then take it from there. But yeah, we're really confident. You know, this year was big. I think what I take out of this year is the fact that we've broken a couple of the barriers that haven't been broken in a while, you know, so we know we can do certain things, so we're looking forward to that.
I want to end by saying, yeah, I think captaining and playing are two different things. Being a player, you know, in a team, and now captaining a team are two separate things. How has this role shifted the way you think about rugby or about teamwork and captaining?
No, all I want to do is perform, you know. Being captain is just really being a bonus. All I want to do is just teamwork and give my best for the team. But obviously, that's put the pressure. Every people want to see me perform, so I do know that. That's why I keep on working hard. It's the best. It's the only way I can do. Work as hard as I can and keep my best and set it.
Well, I've got to tell you, we are proud of you. We are supporting you all the way, and we can't wait to see the results. Well done on an incredible 2018. Well done for leading this country, leading rugby, and leading South Africa to some very, very proud moments. And thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. No, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it as well.
Bless you. Be well. And Merry Christmas to you and your family, and have a good New Year, and have some fun. Be good.
Thank you and your team and all your listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The one and only Siya Kolisi, the captain of the Springboks. So cool to have him on the line. Just mentioning how incredible the Bright Rock Players' Choice Awards of 2018 were. Some great awards were given out. But also the show itself was brilliant. Francois van Cooke sang his hiney off. We had just really, you know, when you see the talent that's in this country, and then you put the talent like the rugby players with some of the best singers, you just can get simply blown away. They had celebrity guests doing the awards like Lunga Chabalala, and they had, Jack Parrow was rocking and rolling in that joint. It was really, really cool. And then, you know, some other really wonderful people that really made this event completely and utterly incredible. So I want to just congratulate Bright Rock and, of course, South African rugby. And a lot of this also went to a very good cause. The winners donated their money, their winnings to various and a variety of charities. And we'll get that on, we'll discuss that through the course of next year and the Rugby World Cup and those charities that these wonderful people support. So that's all going to come up in the next year. It was a great event. And I want to just tell you that Siv Ngesi has got to be one of the most exceptional MCs. He was brilliant. And I want to say Refense was brilliant, Refense, and so was Taryn Lamb. Just the whole thing was great. Congratulations, and thank you to the captain of the Springboks, Siya Kolisi, for joining us on the line. It was really, really cool. So now I want to tell you, it's been such a long time since I managed or have been in contact with some of these incredible people, and these people that took South Africa by storm. Literally. At one point, it was said that Big Brother's housemates, the very first season 18 years ago, were more famous than, and this sounds crazy, Nelson Mandela. People were saying that. I remember even Mandela Mandela saying, Alan, these people are more famous than my grandfather. And they came out of the house. No one ever thought that this was going to be as big as it was. And I tell you, it turned into to just massive stuff. I mean, when this used to happen, I mean, people couldn't believe what was going on with Big Brother. I mean, it took over the whole of the country. So I wonder if I can play this. What does it sound like? All those years. Yeah, I'm trying to find it. But yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Hello.
But on the line, hello, is
Yo.
Opening the show was the winner of Big Brother Season 1. Ferdinand Rabi. Ferdinand, welcome to CliffCentral.com. It's good to have you.
I am so honored to be now on Cliff Central here with Alan Ford, who hunted me on my bra.
Well, you know, Ferdy, I'm so happy to welcome you to the show. We look back on 18 years and how incredible this journey has been for you. I want to do a shout out to Empress Palace, who kindly brought all you guys together. And last night I was very privileged to be the only member of the media to actually sit and have dinner with you people. And I've just got to tell you, people have grown in leaps and bounds. Not many people have changed. And 18 years later, Big Brother changed people's lives, both in the house and in South Africa.
Yeah, I must say that it was also for me great to see everybody last night. And I think tonight that the Empress Palace Monsoon Lagoon is going to be one kick-ass party. And it'd be so lucky to see. I mean, there's already this morning people checking into the hotels coming for the party tonight, and it's just amazing, man, to see old faces. But that, like you said, they all still fit and look the same, except Irvin, maybe. He picked up a bit of weight.
Yeah, Irvin, remember the song? Remember this Big Brother song? It was kind of crazy. The theme song. I mean, takes you back when you think about the music and how crazy this thing was. Irvin has put on a few pounds.
No. I'm sitting next to him here now.
I know, we'll talk to him in a second. Ferdinand, I want to ask you a question, because I think, have you met anybody in 18 years that has won $1 million for cucking in a garden?
My friend, can I say, a lot of people work their whole life to make a million. I mean, I just shit once and I made a million. And but now I need. Now I'm a few shits behind, guys. So, I think I stamp on that one.
Yeah. Ferdinand, you've done incredible things with tourism, with Cape Town tourism. And we've had the pleasure of doing some interesting work together. For example, I mean, thank you for creating for Verana Dinger, wonderful insert with the crocodile cage diving.
Yeah, and you've done it.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember, my boy. And the one thing about Ferdinand's tours, I know all my trips, I know all my customers, and that's why after 23 years I'm still in it, and I love it. And but we also started to do some awesome sport events as well. We had a lot of people from Johannesburg and Pretoria that came down for the Strongman Run. Mm-hmm. We changed the name this year. We took the event over. It's a European event, but they still support us. It's just for the exchange rate. We got a bit too expensive for us, but I want all the listeners to check out legendrunner.com. So we're coming in May to Hartbeespoort Dam area, and we're going to have the event over here. So it's the biggest mass start obstacle race in the world, and it's fun. It is, everybody is a legend because, you know, and there's no cut off time. We don't cut people's armbands off. Everybody is a hero, man. So the sport events is going awesome, and the tours is going awesome.
Mm.
And it, for us last night, to network amongst each other, because Irvin's got awesome business that he's doing, and Vuyo, the whole bunch is, and Stephen as well. I mean, the guys are just doing incredible well for themselves.
Ferdy, I can't believe Stephen. Stephen looks like he's, like, I mean, I cannot believe that man looks the way he looks at 47 years old. It's actually, I mean,
really, he still looks exactly the same.
I mean, I've never, in my life, not one grey hair. It's actually crazy.
And it's his birthday today. Shit, I even forgot to say happy. Remember when you phoned him, say happy birthday. So today, I think he's 47, eh?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's kind
of
crazy.
3 years away from 15, he still looks up and 25.
Ferdy, when you look back at the 18 years, what are some of the greatest moments of being in that house and then getting out? Tell me some of the best things that happened to you.
Well, can I say, there's so many awesome moments in the house and everything. Can't put your finger really on them. Well, for me, since the death obviously was walking out of the house. I mean, that feeling, you cannot describe to people when you get to your friends and your people. That was for me. But inside the house, I think it had a lot of special moments. I mean, Lee's also just had a little baby now.
Mm.
Beautiful daughter. And I think to paint her, I mean, that was the best body painting I've done in my life. There was the dancing competition, the sitting around the fires late at night or early in the morning hours. And at the end of the day, to entertain yourself, you always have to look out how you can even take the living daylight out of somebody just to have a bit of a conflict.
Yeah, that's it.
So, I wasn't meeting you.
Yeah, but I mean,
Irvin, the highlight was, you know what, I've never met a man that looked at himself so much like Irvin, and today I think that's why I picked up so much weight. He can't look at himself anymore, so he's just overdone it on the show there.
Ferdy, again, I made a statement, and members of the press at the time said that these people are as famous, if not more famous, than Madiba.
What? Say again?
You guys were so famous when you came out the house. The world, this country went mad. You couldn't go anywhere. I mean, it was insane. I mean, it was crazy what happened. Did you ever think, when you were in that house 18 years ago, that Big Brother would be as big as it was?
No, listen, yeah, we actually literally shit ourselves when we walk out, because and we didn't have any training of how to, you know, a lot of people get famous and they starting to learn how to deal with things. We were just thrown into the deep end and we had to deal with it, you know. So, and I think for a lot of people it wasn't easy. For everyone I think it wasn't easy, but the main thing was, I think we all embraced it as well, because it was the maddest journey that we've ever taken in our lives.
It was wonderful to see you guys come back together last night, Ferdy, and it was good to see that you have a WhatsApp group between you guys. What's happening in your lives, and I think that's the cool thing. I mean, there was conflict in the house, there was love in the house, there was joy, there were tears, there was laughter, but ultimately that was an experience that I think an issue with, I mean, in that group, you wouldn't be able to understand it.
I think in the world, besides the fact that we were the longest Big Brother in the world, we were the first one being shown 24/7, that we are the closest housemates as well. Because like you said, we're on a WhatsApp group, we all communicate with each other, everybody knows everybody's stuff. And even like Nina is flying from Switzerland today, so she's arriving in about 2 hours' time.
Hello.
From Switzerland. So that's a great thing. I mean, everybody's making a huge effort to come to tonight's party. And to see the fans,
because that's what it's about.
I mean, after 18 years, we still have fans, man.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
That is the most awesome thing about it.
Daddy, keep, I want you to keep well. We're going to chat to Irvin in a moment. I'm so happy because I've got to tell you on the show, we've got Irvin Damon, Bad Brad, Vuyo Tofile, Margaret van der Vestas, and Stephen van Rooyen, Janine Orderson. We've got most of the guys on the show. So I just, yeah, it's great. And I think that everybody loved this. And let's go to Irvin. Faddy, the winner of Big Brother, look after yourself, my brother. We'll do some fun stuff. Okay.
I'll
Okay, I will. Let me just do this. We're going to chat to Bad Brad in a sec.
How are you doing? It's Irv, yeah?
Irv, how you doing, Irv?
Okay, buddy. Nice seeing you last night.
It was great seeing you. It was great connecting. It's so interesting. So I did crocodile cage diving with Faddy for one show. And then for another television show within the 18 years, you and I went to South Korea.
Yeah, we did indeed South Korea. Now, that was interesting. Like, the most memorable stuff. You know, it was crazy. They injected us with a chalk business and turned us upside down. And
they did.
Yeah, and then they secretly, like, tested us for HIV and told us that we're negative. I mean, who does that?
We went with LG, and they were doing, they took us, all the members of the media, and you had an environmental television show at the time.
Yeah, that's right, yeah, Hybrid Living.
Yeah, Hybrid Living, and we were invited, and we go along with our film crews from South Africa. We meet other people from around the world, and we end up having teeth whitening and in a clinic, and it is things that movies are made of, so it is kind of crazy.
Absolutely.
Urban, yeah. I mean, we also want to talk about the fact that your life has also seen interesting things. You went into to talk about eco-friendly. You went into to do that type of work. What other things have you done in 18 years?
Just say that again, Alan.
What other things have you done that?
Years? Okay, so I've been involved in the smart energy sector. I work with a lot of cloud-based solutions in terms of monitoring electricity utilities across gated communities. We work in municipalities, so largely speaking, I've been working in the IoT smart energy sector in the last sort of 12, 15 years or so.
What is your favorite thing about Big Brother?
My favorite thing? Oh. I guess I wasn't paying rent for 3 months. I mean, you can't beat that. And like no rent and as much alcohol as you can have, that's like unbelievable anything.
Again, well done. It's great to see you guys last night. And Swerve, you're doing good things for the planet. You're doing good things for business. And now you and Faddy have joined forces.
That's right. Yeah, we're thinking of starting up a business. It's called For Real. And after all these years, the networks we've had and the business acumen discovered. I think it should be fun, to finally get together. People are going to be a bit shocked, but things have changed. I can claim land. So, yeah, I mean, obviously things have changed for the better. So I think the partnership is going to be amazing.
Incredible. Look after yourself, my friend. It's really good chatting with you.
Listen, are we going to see you tonight?
No, you're not, because I've got my brother's wedding, so it's kind of crazy. But I won't see you tonight, but I was happy to see you last night. That's what's cool.
Okay, perfect, brother. Thank you.
Look after yourself. Irvin Damon, one of the contestants, Big Brother. Well done, my friend.
Go well. Thank you so much.
Okay. We got some crazy things happening in the studio. This is CliffCentral.com. My name is Alan Ford, and of course, we are talking about some of the coolest things that happened in the past 18 years with the Big Brother winners and the contestants. They all came out winners in some respects. Their lives were changed forever, and that was 18 years ago. And we have this special Big Brother Season 1 reunion show today, so it's really cool. And I want to thank the guys, Julie van Wyk, and the guys at Empress who just helped me put this together. Ferdinand Drab, we spoke to Irvin Damon. He has to be the baddest guy in town, okay? And he joins us on the line, the one and only Bad Brad. Bad Brad, you there?
I am, my good.
Brad, okay, this is the coolest thing in the world. To see you and I became, and we still are, very good friends over the years, and you know, we did some really rad things together, game reserve stuff,
absolutely,
dancing, singing, drinking, jolly,
leprechaun naked through the bush.
Okay, hold on. I want to put this in perspective. Bradford Wood and I went leopard crawling with a bunch of people through Sabi Sands. And this, in through the ravines, the leopards were around us, the lions were around us. We were crazy, eh, Brad? What were we doing? What were we doing?
crazy days. The rivers, what was it? Lion Sands. Remember those days? Good days, good days.
It was a good
What's
day.
What's happening, Alan?
So, Brad, things are really great. Was it good seeing everybody last night?
No, it was good. I haven't kept in touch with everybody. In fact, only last night I heard that they got a group going. But it was really good to see the guys.
You're the only one that wasn't put on their group. Why?
no idea, but I'm not the group boss or whatever you call it. Yeah, no, listen, it was good to see everybody. Everybody's moved on. A lot of the guys have got success stories. I see Stephen's done very well for himself. Faddy's got his thing going. Margaret's out here back on radio. Janine. No, it was really good to see them. You know, you don't really, you lose touch. It's as simple as that. You lose touch. Last night, the early evening was great. And, thanks to Empress Palace and Julia for putting it together.
Yeah.
No, I had a good time.
Brad, I wanted to say this. You have had an incredible, let's say both media life and public life. At one stage, you had shot so many people, we didn't know what to do with you. We don't want to reminisce about all that stuff, but I mean, I always tell people, Brad was, he was driving on the road and he got hijacked. He didn't go looking for the trouble. But obviously trouble followed him.
No, not at all.
At one
stage, I had a little bit of bad luck.
Yeah.
Ran into armed robberies. Ran around the bottom of the mines. But yeah, it's all behind me now. Now I play with 97 dogs. Got a very successful canine explosives detection narcotics all over the country. So yeah, the guns are at home and the dogs are now with us.
Now, that's what I want to talk about. This is an incredible part of your life that no one's picked up on.
Yeah.
And that is that you are working with these incredible, incredible animals, canines, that do bomb detection in airports, that do so many... I mean, Brad, this is really interesting stuff. Sniff a dog for drugs. Firstly, how did you start this? What happened? I mean, I know you've always had a love for dogs, Brad, but I mean...
Yeah, no, listen, I've always had a thing for the dogs. Back in the day in the reserves, I used to work a lot with Keith Butler and then from the Durban Dog Unit. And it was just always a passion of mine. So, yeah, I started my own canine unit. We've just brought out Vaporwave canines from the States.
What are those? A particular breed?
Now, those dogs are, they're Labradors. But what's amazing about those dogs is they will go find your suicide bomber. So if I've got a guy walking around the airport with a suicide vest, they will trace the explosive scent in the vapor, and they will take us to the explosives. Instead of us taking them to a static object, a bag or something, they take us to the actual person or where the scent's coming from. They work it out.
Brett, I know you can't go into details about this particularly, but tell me, did you specifically find, when you're going through airports, do you find some weird shit?
I know that, Alan, on the explosive side, we don't find anything. Narcotics, every single day.
Okay.
Funny foods every now and then. Some people taking stuff out. They don't realize that the food's got refrigerated. It's going to start smelling, hence fish and all that.
Mm.
But airports, pretty safe, except for your normal crime, being drug smuggling and all the rest of it.
Mm.
But yeah, on the explosive side, we've never ever had a situation like that.
Brad, I was saying something at the table last night to the guys after you left, and I said, no one understands that at the time, the person that was the most successful person that left that Big Brother house, because he was able to feed off it for 2 months outside of the house, was Brad. You were the third person to leave that house, and you stayed in a presidential suite for 3 months, and for a year. You literally, Brad, I remember, because we would spend a lot of time together, and they would drop off an Audi. And you were given an Audi. They just gave you an Audi. Okay. Certain companies would phone you up and say, here's 50,000 Rand. We're going to fly you right now to just do a 10-second verbal mention of the company at a Christmas party. It was madness, Brad. It was crazy. How did it change your life?
It was crazy. Yeah.
Did you ever think before you went in the house this was going to happen?
No, it was. I actually thought we were going to come out. People are only going to bat the eyelid, you know.
Yeah.
It was the first, there was nothing, social media was even around then.
Mm. Yes.
It was, yeah. I think it was, everything was done on SMS, so maybe it was the start of social media, but Yeah, nothing like today. But no, to answer your question, not in a million years. In fact, after I left, I was having a chat to some of the guys that I work with. And you forget about those things. But it was nuts, man. To go sit and, to go down to somebody's restaurant, there's some trees that paid you money. To wear somebody's clothes. They paid you money and they gave you the clothes for free.
Yeah.
Now you gotta go buy it. But yeah, no,
Brad, Brad, when certain shoe companies, tacky companies, would say, here is your check. I was with you. And here's 20 pairs of shoes. And you say, oh, Chubby, because you called me Chubby, of course. That was my, my name. Well, on radio at the time. And you said, yeah, pick, take two or three pairs. Take whatever you want. Okay, cool. No, it'll just get
more. It was nuts, but it was
insane.
Nuts. Every time you came back from the day, you had more shoes, more techies, more this,
yeah. It was insane. But when you look at the experience as a whole, you got the most amount of flack, negative publicity, but you really handled, dealt with it in your stride. Through a lot of the first 5 years, I mean, you were always in the newspapers, and not always for the most positive things, even though personally I knew you were doing a lot of good things. How did you deal with that?
I thought, you know, I always said to myself, today you news, tomorrow you're not. So everybody's going to jump up and down today, pump their gums, have their say, what a verse you are, what a good are you, or whatever. But know this, tomorrow, you've forgotten about. So you just got to take that 12 hours, take it on the chin, and get up the next day and carry on. If you let it get to you, you'll be a nervous wreck. So that's it.
I remember...
You today, tomorrow you're not.
I remember Ilse Klink was a girl that you liked and you mentioned on the show. You had women flocking at your feet, Brad. Flocking.
Yeah, those are good old days, right? 18 years ago.
do you remember, Brad, some of the girls that you kissed? How many girls did you kiss in the first year after Big Brother?
How many girls or how many frogs?
how many people did you, or what did you get? Hundreds, Brad. You were kissing everything.
Just see, but I was catching up for last time. I was catching up for last time and for the future. Now we're working so much, we don't have time for that. But yeah, no, but...
Are you happy? What is your future? Where are you married? I mean, I know where you are, but just for our general public that's listening.
I've got children. My status pretty much hasn't changed, apart from being a very successful thing with the canines and the rest of it. And that's it, eh? My work line's changed, but the rest hasn't changed. No kids, no married, no nothing.
Okay. Here's the question that we talk about success, and I don't want to go through your personal business, but when one sells a canine, is it true that it's close to 2 million rand for one dog?
Yeah, so the Vaporwake, you see, the problem is we're dealing with dollars, but I can tell you a Vaporwake program for one canine in 2017 was $144,000. That was sending the handler to America.
Yeah, okay.
Accommodating, feeding him, buying the dog. The dog was obviously the most expensive part. Accommodating him, flying him, yeah. Flying him, yeah, is more than a first class ticket for you and I to fly to Emirates or wherever, you know. It's expensive. And then once they get you, we don't feed Kibble. Paleo Pet gives us meats that they eat meat every day. They got medical aid. They get groomed. They get walked. It's a whole different story. But yeah, listen, they're not cheaper.
It was great connecting with you. I can't wait to see you soon again. We have connected a lot over the past 18 years. I wanted to say, look after yourself. We'll chat. Congratulations for all the good things that you're doing, protecting our airports, protecting from explosives, protecting from drugs. It's a good thing, Brad. People pick up the bad stories of mines and shooting hijackers. They didn't pick up these stories. So I just want you to know that. It's cool to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, when the guys are around in the airports and the rest of it, good. When the guys are around the airport and you see our dogs, come to us. Come and greet the guys.
So how does the dogs?
We do a lot of work with the schools. We do narcotic searching. So any schools out there listening in the vicinity, give us a shout. We've got a narcotics team that comes out. We search, not there to arrest, but there to rather educate in line with a rehab called the KISO. So, yeah, but
Maybe one day, you know, I should sit down and have some lunch and you come and have a look at
I'm dying to see it. Love to.
Absolutely.
We'll do it. We'll
do the anti-poaching side as well.
Yes, we're doing a big story. You now for Anandinga season 6 on CakeNet. We'll be doing a story on the anti-poaching that's coming up. Our new season starts in January, but we will be doing that work together. Bad Brad Wood.
Thank you.
Look after yourself, my friend, and be good. And enjoy tonight's party with all the fans and all the former Big Brother housemates.
Thank you very much. Cheers, enjoy your wedding on Saturday and all the best to your brother.
Thank you, brother. Cheers. And that's the one and only Bad Brad. Yo, this is cliffcentral.com. My name is Alan Ford, and this is The Unview, where we're the thin, the rich, and the fabulous. If you've just joined us, we're doing the Big Brother Season 1 reunion special show today. Ferdinand Rabi, Swerve Damon, Bad Brad, on the line. He came number 2. Vuyo Tofile, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Al. How are you?
I'm so happy to speak to you because, you know, I did crocodile cage diving within the last 18 years with Ferdinand and other things. Irvin and I went off to Korea together. Brad and I leopard crawled through the game reserve. And you and I got the honorary ambassadorship for the Nelson Mandela Children's Fund from Madiba in a ceremony.
Correct. So we did. Yeah.
About 16 years ago.
Beautiful.
And we had Tata hand over these awards to us. I think you and I were 2 of 3 people that have ever been given that award. And
I think you took it with far more grace than I did. I was just bewildered by the moment.
It's so weird. When you tell people that we stood on that stage and Madiba gave us that award, and you look back on it and you think to yourself, oh my goodness, life has been incredible. It really has.
True.
And your life has been incredible and you're very happy and now you're in finance and banking. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so, well, more in fintech. So, for me, the journey has been interesting in that got interested in technology and then more so in finance and how technology can change banking, finance, particularly for those who are unbanked, those in the township, those in informal economies, and how we can provide access to finance for them. That's really about changing lives at the end of the day. And that's what has interested me into getting into that space.
If we are looking back over 18 years when you left the house, and then also when you were in the house, everyone has said they never could expect what they expected when they walked out the house, and how big Big Brother was. Did you love the experience looking back on it, or do you have some regrets?
No regrets whatsoever. For me, I think going into the house, I didn't know what to expect, first and foremost. I think there was no...
Why did you enter, Vuyo? Why did you interrupt you?
Interestingly enough, so, story is, there was a competition at Monte Casino to win a car. I wanted a car. That was the bottom line. And I thought, I'll win $1 million. I'll buy myself a car. Start a business. So always been entrepreneurial in spirit and in mind. And those were my two main goals. And interesting enough, my girlfriend at the time entered me into Big Brother. And I thought, what's this thing? I don't know what it is, but I'll enter. Nevertheless, the competition that I thought I wanted and wanted to win, which was at Monte Casino to win a little city golf, nobody even called me back. Next thing, I get calls for this thing called Big Brother, go through the interview process, and I think it only dawned on me that I was actually going to the house the day before. And I thought, okay, I'm in this house, have a chance to win $1 million. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And that was my attitude, literally, going into the house.
You look back on it, throwing it out there, who were some of your favorite people that you loved? I mean, you loved them all, we know that. I mean, it's just...
No, so for me, I think the characters, more than anything else, you know, obviously, Ferdy, we had polar opposites, we're extremely different. Yeah. Irvin, Nina... Steve was interesting for me. He's happy-go-lucky character, you know, the adventure man. He's still that way. It's quite interesting how the majority of us, in terms of our personality, not much has changed. So those are the characters more than anything else that interested me in the house.
Well, you've done success. So you're so successful. But we always knew that you were going to be. I mean, you were the guy that took it easy. You kind of, you were busy. You were the brain. Like, not everyone was clever. I'm just saying, but you were like quiet, like reserved.
Yeah.
And so I'm so happy life has really done you very proud. And again, I look at all these experiences, and I've got Margaret van der Westhuizen up next, or Mags Vestoff. AKA Mags, the radio personality.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you that it's so interesting that I've had such weird experiences with all of you on separate things. And you and I with Madiba was really, really special. I want to thank you, my friend.
That was truly special. Thank you.
And thank you for being a good example to proudly South Africans, you know, looking at transformation, seeing how things have changed. I'm going to hit on this question, not to be political, but...
Yeah.
When you look at Big Brother 18 years ago, we were going through transformation. How do you think we've progressed, in your own personal opinion?
I think we've still got a lot to go through as a country, you know. I think what we're seeing now, you know, the flare-ups across the country and across the board is indicative of what we haven't discussed. You know, as a country, we've never sat down and had dialogue and conversation. And so for me, this is a necessary... Interesting enough, I'll use this, a teething pain for us to grow. We have to go through this process of us, you know, being angry, being upset, understanding where we come from, why are certain parts of our society still hurting, you know, deep pain and anger. Where is that coming from? So, and that can, for me, if anything, when we talk about the late Tata Madiba, it was about conversation. That's where it starts. You know, how do we get to know each other? How do we get to heal? And you have to go through sadly enough, or depending how you look at it, we have to go through the rush to come out better on the other end. So for me, transformation is not easy by any stretch of the imagination. It requires emotional maturity. It requires robust dialogue. And we don't have to agree, but one thing we must come together with is understanding that this is our country, all of us. And more so than anything else, we can either carry on complaining, pointing fingers, being upset at each other, or we sit down and say, how do we fix this lovely country, this beautiful country of ours? Because I'm not leaving. I don't know about you, Al. I'm not going anywhere. So we're all stuck here. Let's figure this out, and we can only do it together through dialogue.
I completely and utterly agree. Vuyotofile, thank you for joining us.
Good sir, always lovely hearing from you.
And
always lovely.
And it's good to see everyone, isn't it?
Yeah, look, the experience for me, as I said, I think this reunion, if anything else, showed me what a wonderful experience that was. You know, 18 years ago, you know, the kind of characters, we were given an opportunity to experience something that had never been done before in the country. And we were part of so many people's lives, you know. I remember coming out of the house, everyone would, hey, Vuyo, hey, Freddy, this thing new. You know, you were part of their family. And to us, it was odd. We've never met these people, but genuine love, genuine respect, genuine happiness. It was fantastic. What a great experience. So for 18 years later to see where we all are, some have got kids, some are married, they've progressed in life, and we share those stories. It's beautiful. What a beautiful experience to have gone through.
Vuyotofile, Big Brother,
yes,
runner-up of season one. Good having you there. Be good, my brother.
All the best, Al.
Cheers,
all the best.
Be good. Thanks. Cheers.
Bye.
That's great. That's awesome. This is CliffCentral.com. My name is Alan Ford. It's so much fun doing the Big Brother reunion show from season one. It's happening tonight if you're going to Empress Palace. It's a big party. Everyone's there. This morning alone, we've had Ferdinand Robbie, Swerve, Damon, Irvin, on Bad Brad, Vuyo. Stephen Van Rooyen, if you can remember, was walked into that house, model-looking guy from KwaZulu-Natal, and... Firstly, happy birthday, Steve.
Hey, thanks, Chubby. I'm getting older and older very quickly.
Stephen, you haven't changed, Stephen, and you're 47 years old, and you're as hot as you used to look. Same. Listen, when you're hot, you're hot, baby. You got to call it, you know? You got to call it.
It's the KZN fresh air, eh? Yeah, I know.
What's in the water up in northern KwaZulu-Natal?
Up here in the big smoke, you guys are burning a candle at both ends, and we relax down there, drinking the good water, breathing the fresh air. So, yeah, I'm still living in Matubatuba near St. Lucia and living on a farm, so it's a good, relaxed lifestyle.
Looking back, Stephen, at Big Brother, I just want to reflect on something. That you know, when a lot of the things were happening and all the action was taking place, you kind of went back a little bit more behind the scenes and you went back to a more quiet life. So we didn't get to see much of you. You know, talking about 6 months. I mean, Ferdy was running around for the next 10 years, 18 years. You know, Brad was creating problems. I don't know what he was doing.
Yeah, you're right.
Was the experience great for you?
Absolutely awesome. It was really, really good. Once in a lifetime experience, and wouldn't change it for anything. It was quite a hectic time afterwards. Mnet had us under contract for a while, so there were a lot of functions that we had to do. And then after that, we were free to go home and do our own thing. But for at least 6 months, I lived up here in Joburg. Swerve and I actually shared a flat for a while. We lived together for 3 months.
Really?
So can you believe it? We lived in the house for a couple of months together, and then we were still stupid enough to go and rent a house afterwards and live together for another 3 months. But the experience was really good, well worth it, and opened up a lot of doors in business for me. So it was really good.
What are you doing now on the farm in the Tubatuba?
So it's a sugar farm, and I obviously supply sugar to the sugar mills. But I also got involved in the sugar mills as well. So I've got three other companies which provide contracting services to the sugar mills in Mpumalanga and in KZN, Zambia, Swaziland, and Mozambique. And we do contract cleaning, sandblasting, painting, specialized coatings, that kind of thing.
Well, that's great. Aren't the worlds different? Ferdy's doing tourism. Brad's doing sniffer dogs. Erwin's doing conservation and eco-friendly stuff. Vuya's doing cyber banking. Margaret's on radio. Janine's still teaching and doing all her wonderful stuff. It shows you such diverse backgrounds. I mean, Lee Benny was doing carte blanche at one point in time. It shows you.
And I'm still involved in the business that I had when I went into Big Brother. When I went into Big Brother, I had a business called Matsuba Pest Control, and I'm still killing cockroaches to this day.
you and Brad both. I'm
Cockroach Dundee. That is me.
Steve, but a great experience, and it was lovely to meet your beautiful wife. You've been together for 10 years, and at that time, if you think about it, 18 years ago, she didn't really like, she wasn't really interested in you. She was like, no. You know? these type of things can work against you. Do you know what I'm saying?
It unfortunately did actually work against me. So that was the one occasion where the girl was running in the opposite direction. So I'd gone to maybe too many parties after Big Brother and maybe messed around with too many girlfriends, and I got a bit of a bad reputation in the small town that I lived in. And so Melissa was, she kept me at an arm's distance for quite a while. So I had to work hard to win her over.
I mean, listen, you were one of the best looking oaks in the house. I mean, they were all good looking, but you, so of course the woman would have been flocking on you, and you all were famous. It was crazy. I've said to everyone that no one, when you're in that house, knew when you walked out how your life would change. In true reflection, what was the most difficult transformation in that change? What was hard for you, and then what was great for you?
You're right. It was a shock. We obviously, as the first one, we really, really just got such a massive shock walking out of that house because we didn't know that the whole country was watching. So, you know, suddenly, I remember the one day getting so shocked, driving up to get my car filled up with fuel. The petrol attendant walked up to me and said, "Oh, hi, Steve. How much petrol do you like?" And I thought, man, even the petrol attendants were watching Big Brother. I couldn't believe it. So it was a massive adjustment, just sort of trying to normalize ourselves again. And the big thing was to try and get back into a normal, for lack of a better word, rut, you know, normal sort of, so that I could actually get back into work and not try and stay in the limelight, because it's a bit of a drug, you know. Afterwards, you want to just stay famous and hold on to it for as long as you can. And it's important to let that thing go and get back into a normal lifestyle with your normal friends and just get back to work. And so it was sometimes hard letting that go, because, you know, running around in the limelight in Joburg and going from party to party was quite addictive at one stage. And going back
to
cockroaches was a bit boring. So I kind of hold on to the limelight for a bit, but it was important to get back, you know, down to earth kind of thing, which I eventually did.
Stephen van Rooyen, thank you for joining us. Happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you very much, Chubby, and we'll see you later.
It was great connecting with you. That's Stephen van Rooyen, one of the contestants, Big Brother, Season 1, 18 years old, is the celebration we're celebrating over this week. Mags Vestenhoff, a.k.a. Mags, yeah. Margaret van der Westhuizen. You know, love, I'm telling people about stories like Ferdy and crocodile cage diving with him, and Irvin and going off to South Korea, and Bad Brad and the craziest things we ever did, and Vuya and I getting the award from Madiba. But Mags, you, myself, Gareth Cliff, almost drowned.
I know, but when you tell the story, it just sounds so made up and so fake, and that's why I've never ever really told it to anybody, because if we had to tell people that we were stuck on the side of a ship and we just had...
We couldn't get in.
...to get back up on the side of the ship in the middle of the night, where there were fish jumping about our deflating boat, our rubber dinghy, and we were dying, and people were being thrown and caught up the side of a ship in the middle of this massive storm, where we were dying, and people were actually gassing us to try and get us back up on the boat. People think we're lying.
People think we're making this up, and we didn't make it up.
You can't even read that stuff in the U magazine.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
And literally when we were, Stephen, coming back to people like Stephen Bacher, and your brother was with us, and Katie Katapotis, you know Katie Katapotis?
We
were all together. I mean, we were on this, and when I speak to Katie Katapotis and Costa, and we talk about it, Costa says, I tell people and they think I'm talking nonsense, I'm making this up. It was like a World War II ship disaster story with some of the well-known personalities in South Africa.
You couldn't have scripted it any better, because, you know, it was like perfect Miami day, where you're on the beach and you're playing volleyball, and they've taken the rubber dinghy, they're taking you off the ship and taking you off to an island, and everyone's gorgeous in their bodies and their bikinis. And next thing, this massive sandstorm comes up like the mummy. And then, you know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know, there's no movie director that can script stuff like that.
Megs, we've got to do I'd like to be interviewed on your radio show one day and tell the story to your listeners, because they think I'm talking nuts, I'm crazy.
Well, I would love to, because it would be fantastic just to be able to get this
story out
into the open.
Looking at your life, you're on radio.
I am back on radio. It was actually a life-changing moment again for me. I find I have many of these in my life. I was on the drive show on East Coast Radio from 2003 to 2007. And I decided that I just wanted to go and explore my life a little bit more and see, you know, what was out in the world for me after Big Brother, because I went from Big Brother straight into radio. It was a very interesting 10 years, but 10 years to the month exactly, East Coast Radio phoned me on a Friday night and said, please help and please come back. We need you to help us and fix the numbers. So that was last year in end of February. So back on air, back on the same drive show, talking to people. It's just very really different this time because I'm a mom.
Yeah, you got kids, you got your man, you got, I mean, it's...
Yeah, and I think it was very tough for me. You know, the first time I was on radio, I was definitely there to be a star. Now I'm a mom, and my priorities are different, and I run two businesses. It's very, you know, you have I lose the opportunities of homework and watching sports, and it's the au pair that gets all that glory now. I just pay the bills. You know, I just walk in the house, and everyone goes, hey, that she's back from work, and that's 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And it's really, really tough. But I'm there for a job. I'm there to pick up numbers. I'm there to show my family what is actually possible in life when you really...
Put your mind to it, yeah.
Exactly. Whether you're man, woman, black, white, whatever you are, it is possible. And I think that's why I decided to actually just accept the opportunity and go back.
Mags, we're running out of a bit of time, but I love you. We'll chat to you soon. We want you back on the show, and let's do a little crossover and do some work.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Have a brilliant show, and love you guys all.
And enjoy Big Brother and the reunion, spending some time together.
We are going to.
Good. Margaret van der Veste is, and that was on the line. Before we close the show, Janine Orderson.
Good morning.
Janine, how are you? And I want to just tell you, Janine, I want to say the following. Firstly,
yes,
you are... I think the person that got the most undeserved amount of slack 18 years ago when you left Big Brother. And I want to say that because I really believe you did, because I think that people didn't get it. You were having a conversation. You were a normal person. You just happened to be a teacher, and people, cucumbers became the order of the day, and...
A good salad.
That's what you did.
Yes.
Did you feel that it was a bit unjust at the time?
Did you feel
it was a bit unjust looking back, what people thought and overreaction?
It was traumatic, Alan.
I know.
For quite a couple of years. It was a great shock.
Mm.
It was a great shock coming out and getting that kind of being dealt with in a certain way, specifically by the media. People, in ordinary people. On the street, they were fantastic. A woman would come up to me and say, Janine, thank you, thank you. You know,
it's you like saved my marriage, yeah.
Yes, reawakened them, took them back to reality. And really, and I didn't know that as a nation and as people, we were not ready to be adults.
And it's so true, because since that time, over 18 years, I've produced so many shows on sexual health and sexual talk,
yes,
and being mentally and healthy sexually within your relationship. And you were talking, yes, about oral sex, and I mean, for goodness sakes, people behaved like children, like they had never done it. I mean, that's a bunch of idiots.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes, yes.
But yes, I remember this.
I'm glad it's just over. I'm here to have a wonderful time, Alan.
Mm.
And seeing my friends and my buddies is just awesome. I love them to bits. And, you know, for me, it has become all about when the opportunity comes, it's all about connecting with them. And it's wonderful. I wake up, I'm tired this morning, but I can't wait to see them. And it's just fantastic. So it's all good.
What are you doing now, Jenny?
What am I doing with my life? I'm still teaching.
Awesome?
I love teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I am a great teacher, by the way.
Excellent.
I just said on my status this morning, how come every year I end up with the best class in school? And I kind of had to remind myself, well, maybe, one of the best teachers. I love connecting with my kids, you know, and that just makes them feel wonderful and feel great. And they do their best for themselves and for me. And that happens year on, in and out, all the time.
It was great to see you guys and your kids and your families. It was really wonderful. And I want to just say that what an incredible mom you are. Your son is a Western Province rugby player, Shane Orderson.
Yes.
And
yes,
he's in awe of you. He loves you. And you can see he only loves someone if they've been a good parent and a good person. And so I want to just say, looking back over 18 years, your son was 2 at the time. Now he's playing for Western Province. May he play for the Springboks. I mean, we had Sia Kolisi early on in the show. I just think it's incredible. And I want to just congratulate all of you, because I think, you know what, You didn't know what you were going into. You came out with your head spinning, and a whirlwind. But you've continued with your life and set the bar very high, and are all great examples of how people should lead their lives and take opportunity,
yes,
and be successful and give back. I mean, Bad Brad,
yes,
is cleaning the airports of drugs and poachers. I mean, the world,
yes,
has gone mad.
And the great thing is, it starts with family, eh? It all starts with family. I say that the family is the greatest team ever. So those people that you're living with and you're sharing a space with at home, you're a team, and you've got to support one another. And that's what we have in our family.
Well,
I've got my husband, that I married. I married the same man twice, eh, Alan?
Oh, really?
He's so wonderful, I had to marry him twice, yes.
I love it, and I'm just thinking, it's what a...
And it can, it does work. It does work. People
well, you know what,
you
redefine your boundaries. You say, listen, you know, I'm going to walk out if you don't do, if this doesn't work like this. So that's and you also grow up. We grow up. And,
yes,
we
do.
So I want to just say thank you for being on the show. It's been wonderful. I want to wish you all the success. We'll hook up and connect with each other soon. I will be doing an interview with Shane shortly about his rugby stuff, so we'll do that. And
okay.
And I just want to thank you so much for joining us today.
That's a pleasure, Alan. It was lovely seeing
really,
you again.
Really wonderful. Cheers, my love. Thank you.
Okay.
This has been such a cool show. Lee Benny has just had a baby. We couldn't chat with her. Nopasitu and Lara have refrained to... She have really stepped away from Big Brother for different reasons, so they don't even want to be really associated with it. I know that... yeah, but in general, I think everybody has had a good experience from this. I want to thank, just very importantly, Empress Palace. It's a part of their 20th anniversary that they're throwing this Big Brother reunion party. It's happening tonight there, so they're recreating Monsoon Lagoon for you. Ferdinand Robbie, the winner of Big Brother, thank you for joining us. Irvin Damon, Bad Brad, Vuyo Tofile, Margaret van der Vesthuizen, Stephen van Rooyen, and Janine Orderson. Wonderful to have you on the show. And also, Captain, my Captain, Sia Khaleesi, thank you for talking to us about the Bright Rock Players Choice Awards of 2018. It was great to start the show with the Captain of the Springboks. It has been so good being with you. I hope that 2018 has been superb. 2019 is going to be better. We'll catch you in 2019. And yeah, it's really been good. And I bless you, and I hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas and a great new year. My name is Alan Ford. This is CliffCentral.com and The Unview with The Thin, The Rich, and The Fabulous signing off.
This is CliffCentral.com.